Hello and welcome to Growing Up B2B. I'm Ed D'Elia, president of D'Elia Associates, the place where B2B brands go to grow. For over 60 years, and now across two generations, we've been helping B2B companies achieve next-level growth through brand distinction, quality lead generation, and sales enablement. Growing Up B2B was created for family business leaders who are passionate about growth, legacy, and making a lasting impact. Whether it's a multi-generational legacy or multiple family members working together, there's something truly magical about blending business with family. And we want to celebrate that right here on Growing Up B2B. So be sure to stick around to the end of the show and find out how you can be our next guest. Okay, let's get into it. Hello and welcome to another episode of Growing Up B2B. I'm your host, Ed D'Elia. I'm the second generation president of D'Elia Associates, the place where B2B brands go to grow. Today, I'm joined by Jacqueline Epstein, chief operating officer of Mica Corporation, a leading manufacturer of innovative water-based primers and coatings for the global flexible packaging industry. Jacqueline represents the third generation of the Siegel family leading Mica, which has been solving adhesion and sustainability challenges in flexible packaging since 1971. Jacqueline has been with Mica since 2016, building on her prior experience with General Electric in global communications, public affairs, and digital strategy. She's been recognized by TAPI as one of their top outstanding young professionals, and she also serves on leadership councils with TAPI and the Flexible Packaging Association, where she contributes to industry advocacy efforts around sustainability. Jacqueline, welcome to Growing Up B2B.
Thanks for having me.
So great to have you today. Okay, so let's start with the basics, Jacqueline. For our listeners who may not know, can you give us a quick overview of what Mica Corporation is all about and what makes your products unique in the packaging and other industries?
Sure. So Mica Corporation, as you said so beautifully, provides water-based primers and coatings to the flexible packaging industry. And you think about primer in painting a wall, for example, in your house. First, you put on the primer and then you put on the paint. It helps the paint stick to the wall. And that's like what our product does within the walls of a flexible package. So a chip bag or a pretzel bag or any type of snack food packaging or pharmaceutical packaging, those packages are actually made up of multiple layers of different materials that serve different purposes in the package. And our primers and coatings are used to for both adhesion and other properties within the walls of those packages. So you probably come across one of our products every single day and would never know it.
Wow.
And our products are, Mica is different in general. Our products are always made to the highest quality and standard, and we support our products with technical service and customer support, unlike any other company in our industry.
Excellent, excellent. So you represent the third generation of your family in the business today. Tell us, bring us back. What was your like earliest exposure to Mica? Like, when was your first memory of that, hey, there's this company called Mica that exists and it's something to do with my family?
Yeah. So my earliest memory is probably like a take your kid to work day in the 90s at some point and coming to our laboratory here at HQ with my dad. Mm-hmm. And working with the lab team to make glue. So we'd make like an Elmer's glue type glue in a jar. And I would use that at home for my art projects and stuff. So we always had homemade glue at our house. And that's probably my earliest memory. And I always knew which offices at our headquarters had candy dishes. As I walk the halls today, I still take note of who's got candy out for when I bring my kids through. They'll definitely want to visit those offices.
You brought back a memory for me that when I was young, one of the accounts that my father had back in his day was the Italian Chocolate Association. So needless to say, I got exposed to some really great Italian gourmet chocolates before the rest of the world. They're mainstream today, but back then it was like, it was a rarity to get Ferraro chocolates or some of the other Italian brands. So
that's awesome. That's a good benefit there.
So at what point did you start to think, hey, I might be inclined to join Mica? So this might be a path for me. Talk about that for a moment.
It's so interesting because I know in a lot of family businesses, there's like pressure from the older generations to join. And I felt so little pressure. I put pressure on myself to do it. It was definitely mandatory for any member of the family to go out and have a career before joining the business, have a real value add when joining the business. And in starting my career in communications and public affairs and PR, I didn't do that necessarily with the intention of coming to MICA. I did it because I was really interested in the field. And so I went to Syracuse University for communications. It was an amazing program. And GE recruited at Syracuse. I had some friends who already worked there. My now husband already worked there. And so it was one thing led to another. I was so lucky to end up at GE and in the communications leadership development program and really learn a lot about leadership and a lot about communications, about corporate America, about just the global business environment through GE. And at some point, about 6 years in, things started to change at GE. And I was personally, things were changing in my life. I had just gotten married and I was thinking about starting a family. And I was just thinking about what I wanted in life. And as I looked around, I felt, first of all, I really wanted to work in a business that I truly cared about. I cared about the people at GE. I cared about my work at GE, but I felt like I wanted to care about even more. I wanted to care about the product. I wanted to care about the industry. I wanted to care about the future of the company in the way that only MICA could offer. And it was a good time for MICA to bring me on. And geographically, it worked out. So all signs pointed to making it the right next step for me. And that's how it all started.
So you came back into MICA, or I guess really you came into MICA the first time it was around 2016.
So actually, that's a good question. I left out that part of the story. I had interned for MICA in college. So before my internship with GE, before I got recruited to join full time, I spent the summer working with our sales team at MICA as their intern and actually hosted a global sales conference that I planned and ran during that summer along with our sales leader at the time. And so I really got exposed at that time to what we made, what we did, the people, the products, the customers. So that was my first crash course in what we did and probably planted the seed in ways that I didn't realize at the time that I could see myself here and that I could contribute meaningfully to the company's success.
Nice. So you came back in 2016. You had some exposure, and then you came back. And what was some of the first response? What was your role when you came, said, "I'm coming in 2016"? First of all, let me ask you a question about that. What was that conversation like with, I assume it was with you and your dad, right?
Yes, my dad and also my uncle, who's our vice president.
Okay.
But it was a mutual job interview, I would say. It was interviewing me to figure out how I could add value. And then vice versa, it was figuring out what life would be like joining the company and what my role would look like. And so it was a definitely mutual conversation about whether it was a good fit. And we know how that ended. So,
Yes, there you
but
are.
my first job here really was to start learning the business. I came in on a sort of a rotational program through the whole company. So I spent my first 2 years sitting within every function of the company. I worked in our laboratory doing QC, doing some customer service work. It was a great way to get hands-on with the products and with various ways to use them. I worked in manufacturing, actually made the product for a few months, got to know our production team, learned what their day-to-day is like, what are their pain points, what does a good day look like in making the product. And so that was a great experience. And then worked in supply chain, accounting, and ended in sales. And that's where I spent the majority of my time with MICA. And then up until 2 years ago, when I took on the role of COO.
Okay, excellent. So at the time, there was your father and your uncle. Were there other family members involved at the time you came back in?
So, no, it's my dad, my uncle, and me. And my grandfather founded the business.
Okay.
So, my dad just came up on his, I think, 39th anniversary with the company. And my uncle's been with us for about 35 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I'm coming
So,
up on 10.
wow. Excellent. Excellent. If you look back and maybe even to current day, which of the two, so it was your uncle, your dad, like where would you see like them influencing your leadership style today as a COO?
That's a good question. I think the three of us are, we really balance each other out in important ways. So together we navigate this leading this company. What I bring to the table is really the traditional leadership strategies and operating rhythms and formalizing procedures and culture and core values and professional management strategies. But both my dad and my uncle have their years of experience under their belt on how to lead this company. They have all the historical knowledge. They understand the products and the customers in ways that at this point, very few people have known them for so long and have seen so many iterations of our business. But the three of us really balance each other out nicely when it comes to leading this company.
And are there other non-family members that would also sit at the, say, the leadership table in
Yes,
addition to, okay.
absolutely. So we have department heads for each of our functions, and we really rely on that team, the head of our technical side, the head of our sales, the head of accounting, HR, supply chain. We all get together and are the leadership team of the company.
Okay. So coming into Mica, and albeit not a small company, but I'll say markedly smaller than a little company that you worked for before, GE.
Yeah, exactly.
So coming from this huge multinational to this family governed business, were there, or say, let me ask you, what were some of the things you were able to that were transferable? So some of that exposure to GE, how to what extent were you able to bring that knowledge back to Mica?
I think one of the most tangible things we did right away was we formalized our plan for culture. And we looked at our core values, we wrote them down, and we all agreed, okay, this is what we stand for, which was always there. It was just writing them down and having a strategy behind our culture that already existed. It really helped us to both in recruiting new employees. It's up on the wall in our common areas. It's just like a nice way to capture what makes this place so special. And I thought GE did a really great job of doing that for such a big company to have a culture and an internal brand that all employees really knew. Like I felt that was very beneficial. The other thing that I learned at GE was from an external branding perspective, I had gone through all the work on the GE Works campaign from back in the day and brought some of those learnings here and really worked on our external facing brand as well. We since have come up with new tagline, new customer facing presentations, really just giving it more of a polished look. Not that we didn't have it before, but we just it was an update, and it was putting a finer point on what we bring to the market and bring to customers.
Interesting. So
There was a
my
lot of
dad,
things to add from a communications and public affairs standpoint from my experience over at GE.
passed in 2012, and a few years later, we did some similar activities here, bringing culture and values and really leaning in on culture and values as a driving force for how we operate, how we hire, how we lead, how we hold each other accountable, and the like. However, I sometimes look back and say, gosh, what if I brought those instruments in when my dad was still here? I feel sometimes like he might have scratched his head a little and said, what are we doing that for? So, as you started to introduce some of these changes and really bringing this level of professionalism into Mica, to what extent, how did your dad and your uncle respond to those initiatives as you started to introduce them?
They put a lot of trust in me that this was what was necessary to bring us into the next generation. I definitely get pushback when I use too much corporate speak internally or put too much process around something. But so I think there's a good balance. I think they trust my expertise and knowledge around this topic. But we're family. We can negotiate internally, but it's all healthy and really like it just a really nice balance between the three of us.
I think you brought up a great point around balance and how important that is in every facet of an organization. But what happens when, say, a conversation or a topic goes out of balance? So let's just say that you have a strong feeling on a certain initiative, maybe your father or uncle have a differing view. When there is a, I'll say, not alignment on issues, how do you all resolve those? How does that come to a resolution when not everybody is in 100% agreement on something?
Yeah, I think that the three of us are good at taking space when we need it, really thinking through something individually and together. I really can't think of an example where we've not resolved something like logically together. We really don't let emotions get in the way, even though I think that's in family business, maybe you're more susceptible to that. But I think we do a good job of taking space when we need to and revisiting things when we have the ability to look at things from a new angle, or we ask more questions, or we bring in an expert to bounce ideas off of.
Good
I
idea.
think it's a healthy way to approach things like that. Yeah, I'd recommend that kind of approach to others too. It's just if the answer isn't right there, or you don't have anybody internally who can help you, bring in an expert, talk to people in your network who could help you. And just take the space needed to look at it logically next time.
Yeah, and as I look back, there's definitely moments where I was hearing my father, but not listening. And then the third party comes in and maybe says something very similar. I'm like, oh yeah, that's great. And then I look back and my dad said the same thing. And I wasn't listening because I was maybe in father-son mode and not employer-employee role. And that's so, which leads me to another question for you. So let's just say you're at a family gathering. Are there any rules about, is it okay to talk business when you're sitting together as family and when you're off campus? Or do you have, I'll just say, some rules about that? Do you just opt not to? How do you all handle that?
Yeah, historically, we've really not talked a whole lot about business when we're in family settings. We try to just be respectful of family members who aren't in the business, who not to let it dominate conversation when we're on family time. So that's the way we handled it.
Yeah, and somebody's got to be the disciplinary on that. And in
Yeah,
my case,
we
I
remind
wasn't.
each other, and our
Yeah,
family doesn't
okay.
hesitate to remind us if it creeps in.
Which is good because it can dominate the dinner table, right? If if you let it. You've been very active in a number of associations, TAPI being one, the Flexible Packaging Association being another. How have those networks shaped your perspective on leadership and on industry change?
So my involvement in TAPI and FPA have both been in the emerging leader or young professional category. And my approach, especially early on with TAPI, was to find a way to empower young people in the industry to get involved. So TAPI is all about technical leadership. And so one of the programs I'm proud of from TAPI is having a program to empower young people to do technical presentations at TAPI's conferences. There's just such a long history of great technical content, and over the past maybe decade or so, the experts in the industry have tapered off their involvement maybe, and we want to increase the pipeline of technical speakers coming up through the ranks. And I guess the theory was that young people in the industry, they can do it, they just need to be empowered. We can offer training, we can offer mentorship, and just give them the gentle push that they need to get involved. And so this will be our, I guess it's we're coming into our third or fourth year of that program, with a couple conferences in where this program has been launched. And it's great to see more young people taking the leap of faith in themselves and really putting in the work to do these presentations. On the Flexible Packaging Association side, we really are focused in getting involved in advocacy work, doing fly-ins on Capitol Hill, doing some campaigns on LinkedIn around education and sustainability for the industry. So those two different approaches, but really just trying to get the next generation empowered to make a difference in the industry.
That's an awesome cause, and that's great because I wish there was more of that in more of the industries that we have exposure to. That being said, was that level of active involvement in industry associations, was that already happening before you're joining MICA, or was that something that you endeavored to go further with?
TAPI has been a hugely important resource for MICA. I think our whole history as a business, it's a place where people from the industry come together to help each other technically and through mutual connections. And so we've really prioritized over the years getting involved and supporting TAPI, participating through technical leadership and volunteerism. And so it was expected when I joined that I would get involved somewhere. The FPA program is a bit newer, but once I saw it pop up, I thought that's a great addition to get involved in. And yeah, so it wasn't my idea. It was more an expectation that I would find my way to contribute and do something really meaningful.
That's great. That's great. Let's hit a topic that's a big one and has been a big theme for packaging for a number of years now, which of course is sustainability. What is Micah's position on sustainability? How are you approaching that greater sustainability challenge? And maybe talk about some innovations that you're really excited about in the name of sustainability.
Yeah, absolutely. So we like to say that sustainability is in our DNA as a company because my grandfather founded the company at a time when primarily solvent-based products were being used as primers in the industry. And so he had this idea that we should be using water-based products. And so he went and he developed the products. And he, if you read some of his early papers from the 70s, it could have been written today. He just totally saw the challenges ahead of us in the world and in the industry. So sustainability has really been a part of our strategy from day one. And today, so sustainability means a lot of different things to a lot of different companies in and people in the industry. We try and help our customers make more sustainable packaging, and we are also offering more sustainable, inherently sustainable products to our customers. Things like inherently compostable adhesion promoters for packaging, and also products that allow our customers to use some of these new bio-based resins and extrusion coating. We're helping to support customers looking to redevelop packaging from converting from film to paper, helping customers who are trying to make their products using alternative, the non-traditional plastics. And ultimately, we're targeting recyclability and compostability in terms of the end of life of the product.
And it would seem that in some areas, in some states, and sometimes it's federal decrees where a lot of those, we'll call them legacy solvents that may not be environmentally friendly, are being either discontinued, phased out, or mandatory, can't use them anymore.
Yeah,
So,
definitely a mix of regulatory, changing regulatory landscape and changing industry preferences around the world. So always trying to stay ahead of that and help our customers to develop around it.
if somebody hits a roadblock to that end, the chances are that Micah might have an alternate solution that carries the same efficacy but fulfills their sustainability requirements or eliminates whatever that solvent was that may have been called out of use.
Yeah,
Nice.
definitely.
Nice. So looking at Micah, so it sounds like when you came on board in your tenure so far, there was a lot of emphasis on culture, but also you've referenced some focus on brand. So from a brand perspective, how are you influencing the reshaping of Micah in the eyes of audiences out there, whether they be customers, past customers, or even future prospects?
Yeah, so we actually just launched a campaign, a new brand campaign for Micah that is adhesion with purpose. And we felt that really captured what we're all about in terms of a brand. So prior to adhesion with purpose, we were saying we don't sell adhesives, we sell adhesion. So trying to say that we're not just going to sell you a product, we're going to make sure it works. And with adhesion with purpose, it's just we're selling adhesion, first of all. And some of our products go beyond adhesion. They're providing some other purpose, like barrier properties, heat sealability, or some other beneficial performance aspect. And then when it comes to the purpose piece, it has to do with the way that we do business. So we're all about customer support, deep technical expertise. That is our purpose, and we bring that right to customers. And at the same time, our purpose is we care about sustainability, we care about our people. So adhesion with purpose brings together those aspects of our brand. So we're in the process of rolling that out into our branding. And so a lot of what we talk about with customers is this differentiator of we're gonna sell you a product that is high quality, it's gonna be reliable, we're gonna teach you how to use it. We're gonna support you every step of the way, and ultimately, it's gonna create benefits for your products and your customers.
That's awesome. It's a great message. It's a powerful message. There's a lot of emotion, and certainly, Jacqueline, you deliver it with a lot of emotion and passion, which comes through
Thanks.
crystally clear. And I think it's also, I've got a lot of meaning and intent. And also, may I say that it's a little bit of swagger behind the line, a little bit of attitude, which I think is probably well deserved based on the tenure of Nykaa in the industry and the accomplishments to date. I like it. It's strong,
Thank
it's
you.
powerful, and
We've
yeah.
gotten good feedback from our customers, and that's what it's about. So
It's
thank
awesome.
you. I
That's
appreciate it.
awesome. Touching a topic because it's reshaping industries, every industry, which is AI, artificial intelligence. So, do you see AI showing up in either the different areas of the Mica organization, whether it be customer engagement or operations, packaging, or even quality? Like, where is AI showing up in your world right now?
Yeah. At Mica, everybody's so curious about it. I would say we're trying to approach it in a secure way. We're working closely with our IT partner, our IT team, to make sure that we're able to play around with it in a safe way that guards our data and guards our information. So with that said, with those safeguards in place, we have given our team the ability to play around with Copilot in finding efficiency in day-to-day tasks. I like using it for, I do a lot of writing in my job, and I like to do sort of editing partner work with Copilot. My husband works for Microsoft, so I get tips on how to use it straight from the source. But I think all of us, our sales team, our business focus team, is really using it that way. I think it's going to be super helpful to us in the future. Our communications leader is using it too from a content generation perspective. But we're going to see it integrated into our day-to-day so much more through hopefully our ERP system, through CRM. Hopefully, we'll see it helping us find efficiencies in other areas as well. I have some ideas on how it can help us even navigate our own 54-year history of information that could be really powerful when it comes to just massive amounts of data and making use of all of that data.
Yeah.
But so more to come. I would say the packaging industry as a whole is using it too. I'm not as keyed into the strategies that our customers are using it for, but I imagine it's going to have a huge impact in packaging from a design perspective and just finding efficiencies with machine learning and other ways that I probably can't even imagine.
Definitely seeing some very clever applications so far on the manufacturing floor, whether it be in packaging or processing.
Yeah,
And safety too, actually. Some
definitely.
interesting applications in regard to operator safety, which is a concern when you've got these big machines and they're cranking out products and
Being able to spot safety risks before they happen, that's hugely beneficial.
So it was a couple of years ago then. I think it was what, 2 years ago when you stepped into the COO role, right? Was it
Yes.
20,
Yep.
yeah.
October 23. Yep.
23. Okay. So to date, as you look back, what's been the most rewarding part of stepping into that leadership role so far?
I think the most rewarding thing about being in this leadership role is helping to shape the future of the company, having a closer kind of tie into the future planning of the business. So, what are the next 5, 10 years look like? Looking at just what does the future of Mica look like and making decisions to get us there. I think that's been the most rewarding. And also, just our team is just so awesome. And being able to shape that team over the course of the last couple of years, I look around today and I'm just really proud of the team that we've built. And I know that's something that I had a hand in. And I'm really just glad that I could do that alongside my dad and my uncle.
And let me ask you the flip side of that, though. Since stepping into the COO role, what's been the most challenging aspect of the role so far?
Yeah, I think probably just putting a lot of pressure on myself as making my mark as third generation leadership of the company. I put a lot of pressure on myself to help the company succeed into the next generation, and that's an ongoing challenge, I would say. It's also feeling the weight of decisions that you make. It's accountability and just wanting to do right by your family and your employees and people that you love to work with every day.
Cool. So naturally, a lot of our listeners are like you and me, multi-generation business leaders, but there are some that are at the younger end of the spectrum. They're maybe in their young 20s or even early 30s, and they're at that crossroads. They're wondering, do I step into a role with the family business or do I carve out my own path? So for somebody that's standing at that point of reflection as which direction do I go, what might be a piece of advice that you would give them, Jacqueline?
So I guess I'll share my own personal thought, and this was my own thought process when deciding whether to do it, is I knew I wouldn't regret giving it a try. I really felt like while I had the opportunity to work alongside my dad in particular and my uncle, like, why wouldn't I go try that? What, you only get so much time with your family. I knew I could add value. I knew that we got along well. I just felt like I wanted to take advantage of that time to work alongside and help build something really awesome for the future.
Nice. Very well said. Thank you for sharing that. So now let's look to the future a bit. As you look out ahead, what's exciting you about the future for Micah right now? What do you, when you look on the horizon, what's getting you excited?
Yeah, I would say we've got some really interesting innovations in the pipeline to support sustainability and our customers. Global growth, definitely. We're working with partners all around the world to bring our products to our customers located in 60 plus countries around the world, looking at other ways to grow globally and developing new partnerships with other innovators in the industry who can help us make a real difference in flexible packaging.
Awesome. Awesome. So finally, last question. For anyone listening who wants to learn more about you or more about Micah Corporation, what's the best way for them to connect?
Yeah, please reach out. You can find Mica Corporation on LinkedIn, and our website is mica-corp.com, mica-corp.com. And feel free to look me up on LinkedIn too. Would love to chat.
Awesome. Awesome. Jacqueline, thank you so much for joining us today on Growing Up B2B. Your story certainly highlights how next-gen leaders can honor legacy while driving innovation, especially around sustainability and industry leadership. Again, we've been speaking with Jacqueline Epstein, COO of Micah Corporation, and I'm your host, Ed D'Elia, and this is Growing Up B2B. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time. Jacqueline, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Hey, thanks so much for tuning into Growing Up B2B. To explore more episodes and insights, visit podcast.delianet.com. And if you've enjoyed this episode, please give us a rating or review on your podcast platform of choice. Having worked with hundreds of family-led businesses across my career, and being a second-generation leader myself, I'm on a mission to help every family business I meet achieve next-level growth for their organization. So feel free also to connect with me on LinkedIn and let's support each other. You can also find out more about my company at delianet.com. Again, I'm your host, Ed D'Elia, and thanks so much for joining us today. Take care.